Well, again, it's good to be with you this evening, and I hope it's been a good day for you. It's been a beautiful day. For February, it's been a beautiful day, and I hope it was comfortable for you, and that also it's edifying for you to be back and assemble with us this evening as we once again come together and focus our thoughts and our minds upon things of God's Word. It is such a privilege to be able to do that with those of especially present company, be able to come together because they want to and be a part of one another's presence as we remember the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you and you want to follow along, begin with me in Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Proverbs, the 30th chapter, and where we will look at a couple of verses that I know you have read many times, but it's always a good study. And it actually takes you almost all over the book of Proverbs, actually, but there are some things we should think about as this plea or this request is made. Proverbs, the 30th chapter, begin with me in verse 7. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I want to talk just a little while about that very thing, what we call the wise request. That here is Solomon speaking as he comes to the close of these words. And again, he is reflecting upon the idea of life as a whole. And it's important for us, when we think about praying to God, as we all do when we come together, our prayer, our request to God is to live a certain kind of life, to have a certain kind of life, to be blessed of God. That's really the reason we go to God in prayer, and it may be in times of difficulty, maybe a funeral that is very difficult to do, or maybe a loved one who is very sick. It may be an occasion such as this, where the brethren come back together on Sunday evening and we have a prayer, and it's one for all people, and we hope that all would be blessed. But that's the idea of a request, is that we're looking for a certain kind of life. We want to live a certain kind of life. And that's the important thing that I think he wants us to see here. Is that when we talk about a wise request, I just want to suggest to you, our request to God are those things that we recognize He's going to bless us with. Look with me over in the third chapter of Proverbs, the third chapter, and we look down at about, about the 13th verse, and we begin reading here. Well, again, just as general teachings, Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things we may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Generally, we think in the book of Proverbs, especially when we think of Proverbs, that wealth is the result of a person who is responsible and diligent, and they work at their particular task. And they are honest in their work. And that's what he's getting at. He's happy as the man who finds wisdom. And he goes on to talk about this wisdom being more precious than really silver and gold, and being things that we could have in this day. To have the wisdom of God really is eternal in our minds. And it really sets aside our physical lives and the way we have to live here, paying bills and raising children and families and dealing with the problems of this life. The wisdom of God is something that far exceeds that. On the other hand, when you think, well, look over the 10th chapter. 10th chapter is a contrast to this. And I think we understand this, the idea of someone who is after the wisdom of God is blessed in so many ways. But over in the 10th chapter, excuse me again. The 10th chapter, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desires of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. We recognize, just as we read the book of Proverbs, that diligence and plan and determination are those things that come with the blessings of God, and it's certainly a wise life to live. And yet the lazy are the ones that we always consider to be those who are wicked, and they don't prove the things of God, and they're not helpful to God. But he has that very thought in mind over in the 30th chapter that we just read. But look with me back to the 28th chapter this time. The 28th chapter. And I'm working toward this idea that he's wanting us to live with the next life in view. That seems to me to be the idea. But the 28th chapter, let's see, verse 19. 28th chapter of Proverbs, verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Who hastens to be rich. Give up on this idea he's talking about, these get-rich-quick schemes that you hear all of the time. And that's exactly what the Bible's talking about, you know, 2,000 years ago. Forget those things. Be a diligent person that is someone who has God's will in mind and that we really want to continue to serve the Lord. Now, back to our text that we were reading in the 30th chapter, our real desires are conspicuous because we recognize in life for everyone, there are ups and downs, there are bad days and there are good days, and we're conscious of that, and many times we see the evil in this world profit. And then we recognize the brevity of life and that life just almost sneaks up on you and that we're not ready and prepared for it. I've often thought, verse 7, again, our text, chapter 30, verse 7, said, two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. He's wanting to see the blessings of God, the care of God in his life. And the same for us as we think about this. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Or like Jesus said over in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our food, our daily bread. Daily bread would be a good translation of this. But just that idea. James said that we should keep in mind that life is just a vapor. Over in James, the 4th chapter and verse 14. The psalmist said this in Psalms 90 and verse 12. Actually, it was Moses. Said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Let us understand what is the real thing that's happening in our life. We're moving closer and closer every day to judgment. And let us put this life in the correct position that when we come to God in his appointed time and way, we will be blessed and we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to accomplish something for God, and if I'm going to accomplish something for God, I've got to do it today. I've got to be that person today. Over in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the Hebrew writer simply made the statement, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. In Proverbs 30, he's wanting us to think about that judgment on the other side. The wicked on this side of judgment is not thinking about that. So many people who are enamored with their wealth and their position is not thinking about the other side. Here in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, he's talking about, before I die, I want to understand and place these things in my right view and understand them, because I know there's a judgment coming right after this. And that's the thing he wants us to understand. This idea that we will stand before God. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 10, he makes this statement that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body. That is what we need to keep in mind as we're going through life. Or recognize there are many times that the wicked prosper, and we may not understand that. But let us understand that no matter what, the life we live for God, because after this is the judgment. So many times people, I think, are forgetting that, especially of the world. They don't think of the idea that they will be judged. I might have told you before, I've got a debate in my office was between a gospel preacher and an atheist. And the atheist just made the statement in the debate. He said, "Man, when I die, I'm dying. I'll be out in the graveyard and you won't be able to do anything to me." And that's just the way he thought about it. And you just think, oh, why? How to live your life like that and to be surprised at meeting God in the judgment. Our true character. Look with me over in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Our true character is shown by what Jesus is talking about. What is our treasure? He's just saying here, I want you to feed me with bread that is my daily bread, and I want you to keep me from lies because I've got my eyes on something else. The true treasure. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in, for where your treasure is, what's also there. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, I guess that's probably the thought I was wanting to get across. So important that we live in thought of that one day we will stand before Him and we will be judged. And Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9, reveals a very wise request to give the most serious thought to. That this is what Jesus is saying. And I guess we have to just ask ourselves, what is my treasure? What is truly the treasure I have? The will of God, the knowledge of God, the service to God, the promises of the forgiveness of sin, and the hope of eternal life. Our request before God. I just suggest to you, remove from me falsehood and lies. He wants to live this life without being in constant concern about such in our lives. But that seems to be what we deal with all the time. The idea of remove these things from us in our life. Remove falsehood from us. Well, if you're there with me in Matthew, the 6th chapter, look back at verse 13. We read, do not lead us into temptation, is what he is praying for, but deliver us from evil. That's objectively the thing that we're wanting to in the Lord's Prayer, as he says, give us this day our daily bread. And then he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And again, as I've said before, he's not saying we have to pray to our Lord not to lead us into temptation. That's just Bible language, really. Like over in John, the 6th chapter. Maybe that's a pretty good example. John, the 6th chapter, and verse 26 and 27. Jesus answered and said to them, verse 26, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." He's not telling us when he says, do not labor for the food which perishes. He's not saying don't work for your food. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about emphasis here. There was not the greatest expression in the Greek, and so they many times negated one by affirming another statement. He is telling us not this one statement, do not labor for the food which perishes. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. This is the one you dedicate your life to. And then through the Bible that has those things, that's just the way they spoke many times. And this is what Jesus was saying back in the Lord's Prayer. He says, do not lead us into temptation. And I've been asked before, why would I have to ask Jesus not to lead me into temptation? Well, that's not what he's saying. It's just the way they spoke in that day and time. Do not lead us into temptation, but do what? Be our deliverer. That's the point he's making for us. But the point is that we must understand and have this idea in our heart and mind, just the care that God gives for us. And then I guess in a subjective way, if you look over in in Galatians, the fifth chapter, just this statement of Paul regarding the Spirit, add unto us the fruit of the Spirit, when he makes it, well, I'm losing my eyesight. Let me... well, I can't see it very well. Excuse me for just a moment. He says, add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. That's the fruit of and the love of the things that God would have us to think with and be the part of our heart and mind. But false doctrines is what he is saying. This lack of this lies and the false doctrines we have to face. He said, this is what I want to be out of my life, and I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. And yet, we have to face this in so many ways. In 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, we read down, he's talking about members of the church here. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. He's talking about members of the church there. And he says the Spirit is plain about that. This is the way it's going to be. And we have to be on God. We have to have this determination in our heart and mind. I want to live for the Lord, and I pray to the Lord that these things would be provided to me so that I could hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Ephesians 4, verse 14, Paul says that men lie in wait to deceive others as they strive to serve the Lord. So we have to have this determination, Lord, take these things from me, bless me with the food and the conditions of my life that is allotted to me. So many times, many people get upset and they get frustrated with things that are happening. And we recognize we're in a fight. We're trying to fight that which is false and evil of the devil, and we want to stand right. Pray the wise request. Lord, be with me as I stand and try to have these things a part of my life. And the unfortunate part of that, many times it's friendships that create the problems. Back in Proverbs again, the 12th chapter, Proverbs, the 12th chapter, we read down, amazing again, Proverbs 12, verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And isn't that true to today? I mean, we're talking about 1,000 years before Christ. For 3,000 years, this has been the truth. We have to watch our friends as well as we watch our enemies. If you're reading there, look on over into the 19th chapter. In the 19th chapter and verse 4, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. And again, we have this wise request. He prays to the Lord, before I die and before I go and leave this earth, I want my heart to be set only on that which is solid and durable and that we can serve the Lord. The lies that many people believe and teach are things that are tremendous in their effect in so many people. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, look at verse 25. He makes this, therefore, putting away lying. Paul's having to write to Christians and tell them, this is what I need. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. When he talks about this idea of a wise request, he's talking about something that is a prayer that we would have to live our life today in preparation for I might be in the presence of God tomorrow. He says, before I die, I want my life to be like this. And then, of course, last of all, he says, give us not poverty or riches. It is difficult to live those lives. It's difficult, as Paul was in prison many times, to carry on the work that he did, but he did it. And he wants us to understand that we can be far more productive if we are moderate in our life. We're not given to poverty or riches. He makes this statement, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Why is there a tendency, which has been discussed throughout the centuries, why is there the tendency of even the people of God that when they are blessed with material things, they forget God? All of a sudden, the things of God just go out of their mind. Over in Deuteronomy, Moses is warning them. In Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, and you read down at verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget. Which is just amazing, that just the words of lest you forget. And then he says, lest you forget Jehovah, the very one who gave all of these things to you and blessed you this way. The effect that wealth has on people is devastating. Over in Psalms 106, David was writing, and he was talking about the history of Israel. And he talks about in Psalms 106, he just says down at verse 13, he says, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them what they asked for. Verse 16, when they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abraham. The fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned wicked. And he continued on down. You can go down to continue reading through the rest of the chapter. It is a fascinating concept that when the brethren were blessed with physical things, I don't know, you just think they forgot God. Proverbs 13th chapter, look with me there. Proverbs 13, verse 7. Again, you just wonder how this comes about. Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. And one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Where is our true wealth? Where are our true treasures when it's, well, the very thing Jesus was warning the people about in his day. Look with me, Matthew, the 19th chapter. Being wealthy but in poverty at the same time. Matthew, the 7th chapter. You've heard this one many times. And Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 19, verse 23, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." A person who trusts in their riches is not going to make heaven their home. That's the point he's making. I know there's a lot of other stories with regard to it, but he's making the statement that rich man, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he's concerned about the ways that we look at the things we have, but maybe forget about the idea that we're going to have to stand before him in judgment. And what that, how the things of this world allow us to be completely blind to that and forget it is astounding. Proverbs 6, chapter verse 30. "People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he's found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his household." We recognize that when we are in a difficult spot and difficult, tight situation, we've got to depend on God, pray God to restore us, to bless us, and be the people that would restore thanksgiving to him. In Colossians, the fourth chapter, he makes this statement, Paul does to the Colossians. He says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." That's what he's getting at. That's the point he wants us to make. When we think about how we look at the services of God, it's so easy for some reason for us to think about our service here and now. And yet the request in Proverbs 30 is that before I die, may my thoughts be enough that I would pray to live the kind of life that I would be accepted into the very arms of the Lord. So many times it's not that. I hope the study's been helpful for you this evening. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, I extend to you heaven's invitation to be baptized into Christ. If you have the faith that's strong enough to stand and confess his name, then we'd be more than happy to baptize you into Christ. If you're subject to heaven's call as a child of God, we'd be more than happy to pray for you. If there are things that are on your mind, the things you need to address, we'd be more than glad to do that on your behalf. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?